righty, here we go, coming around the bend. You write to us at MyNorthWest.com. You can text as well. Come on into the State Roofing text line at 98973. That's the Hole in the Roof, State Roofing text line. All the texts come dropping in through the Hole in the Roof. Okay, that was Jacob's idea. That doesn't work. I'm scratching that, Jacob. That's a dumb idea. State Roofing, Hole in the Roof. All right? Dumb idea. Tom, I'm blaming Jacob for that.
Yes, that's right.
And oh, stop eating those blueberries. Yeah, it's way too many. Here comes the wood wagon making its way in. The teeny tiny lady is in the pickle jar. She has one job. Well, she keeps everybody's morale high because she does those weird dances. And she also helps Jacob choose a letter of the day. She's put on top of that bar stool behind him. She taps on the glass saying, that's the one she wants. Let's see who she's coming in with, Tom. From here, I can't quite make out who's riding the horses and holding on to the teeny. Hopefully it's not Jeff Toobin. Who
is
it?
Sing it for you so you do not forget it.
Yay!
Oh no!
No wonder she's dancing.
All right, everyone, it's time for the finale.
Look at her go, Tom! Look at her go.
She's the best.
She is the best. She plays it. She plays the didgeridoo. I didn't know that. In that little jar, all steamed up. Diving into the news. Oh, this is where Hannah Scott comes on and talks about Jay Inslee and about the virus, and then I go on and on about deaths, and then Tom says, "But these people get it. They give it to older people, and then they die, and it is serious." And blah, blah, blah. Now, we don't even have to have Hannah on now, do we?
Of course we do.
Here she comes now. All right.
And you know what? I'm so satisfied right now because I have surprises in this lineup for you, and you just can't be
you do?
Saying that I'm predictable, okay? You're right, predictable, all right. And you'll see because I have answers for you. Okay. But yes, we will start off with the COVID situation that has apparently jumped pretty significantly in certain parts of the state for sure, but it's rising all over the state and really in a lot of places in the country. And one of the big concerns that the state has been seeing is younger people, the folks in the Greek system, specifically over at the UW, where I think they're up to like 300 coronavirus cases there now. The governor at a press conference, I think it was around a week ago, said he may have more to say about this in the next few days if they didn't get a handle on that. And it appears they have not. So today he said those outbreaks must be brought under control and had a new proclamation for colleges and university students.
It will require masks at all times in living areas on campus, except when outside or in sleeping areas. Congregate sleeping porches will no longer be allowed, and no more than two residents are allowed to share the same sleeping area. Visitations need to be limited to five people from outside the same household, and common areas can have no more than five people in them at any given time. So, in other words, we can only watch the Apple Cup on these sites with five of your closest friends. And when we do that, and this is really maybe the most important thing here, when we do watch the Apple Cup, we just need to socially distance. We need to wear masks, even with our good friends.
Now, that was a message, that proclamation is specific for the university students, but that message about masking up and protecting yourself when you're around even your own friends, maybe even your own family, if they live outside of your home, and it's beyond that five people you're supposed to be around from outside your household. All the health officials I heard from all day today said that's really, really important. In some parts of the state, they're seeing really, really big upticks in cases, and it's almost universally being linked to these gatherings where people have, maybe they've got COVID fatigue, maybe they just think it'll be okay because they haven't gotten sick when they've done it before, whatever the case, it's causing a big increase in cases. Governor, I'm going to come back to this next cut. I want to talk to you about Snohomish County. That's where they saw the big jump. It was 2 weeks ago in Snohomish County, the case count per 100,000 was around 50, and it's now over 101 today. That is the highest since the very beginning. And I can tell you, I always tell you guys this, when I hear the health officials, I can tell the changes in their voice. They were worried in Snohomish County today. And here's what they had to say about the concerns and about, I asked, because all of the people who are getting sick there are largely younger, 20 to 49, I think the age range was. So just for you, John, I asked, well, what would you say to people who say, well, it's younger people, they're not getting super sick, they're not dying, why should we care? Here's what they said.
We just need to get the disease under control, hope for a vaccine, and that we can get beyond this. But it's going to take some time, and everybody's got to cooperate and realize we're all really in this together.
Young people don't die or get hospitalized at the same rate as older adults, but they are still getting hospitalized, and there are still deaths in younger age groups. And science is starting to show that, you know, two, three months down the line, many people who haven't had COVID still have residual fatigue, difficulty breathing in particular. Those two things lag on a long time. So that impacts quality of life and productivity. And I think it's slim reassurance that currently things are confined to younger age groups. You know, ultimately, it will find its way into older age groups if we don't get this under control soon. Got to sort of think of ourselves as the community in this respect, and then behave in a way that protects the community and not focus in on our own single individual interests.
So not quite what I always tell you, but somewhat similar.
No, They didn't answer the question. First guy didn't answer it, and second guy didn't either, but that's okay.
He said it's going to go in the
Yeah, close. Yeah, you can get it. You can stay with it for a long time. Yeah, closer, but still not quite there. But hey, at least thanks for trying.
You're welcome. And I just want to reiterate, I will say that I'm on this weekly call almost every week with these folks in Snohomish County, and I really did hear a level of concern that I haven't heard since maybe the very beginning today. You had County Executive Dave Summers talking about comparisons to Titanic, 9/11, and then he got a very descriptive how you die when you get COVID kind of went out as well. Very much saying, you know what, I hate being at home, I just like everybody else, and please do what we're asking, social distance, wear your mask. Now, on that note, unless Tom asks questions about COVID, I have something else for you, John.
Okay, just one quick question about the Snohomish. So it went from 50 to 100, so basically it doubled. Are they afraid that if we keep doing what we're doing, in other words, not changing anything more, that it would go to like 150? Or do they just feel like 100 is like way too uncomfortable for them?
No, like this could get out of control. So listen, what I should say is that there are hospitalizations are increasing in Snohomish County, as are deaths. It's not a huge increase yet, but it's a significant enough one that they're concerned about it. And to the point where the health officer said, if we don't change our behavior in Snohomish County, within 3 weeks, we could see our hospitals get really, really full and possibly overwhelmed. And this is going to get away from us that soon, in a matter of weeks. So I haven't heard that it's that way around the rest of the state, but it's certainly a concern in Snohomish County.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of quick questions. So the total population of Snohomish County is 822,000. They said they have 100 deaths. I mean, 100 people now are infected.
No.
For every 100,000.
It's 101 per 100. It's the rate. So per 100,000 residents, where it was 50. So remember, this is the metric they use to get to school, right? In order to send everybody back to school, the ideal goal is to get 25 cases per 100,000 residents. We were getting down there. It was down below 50 for a while and close, and they were just about to start letting kids go back, and then all of a sudden, it started to go up, and it went from 50, then to 70, and then now up to 101 in the last week.
Okay.
It's a metric,
and
though.
Total number of beds, right, because it really is about the idea that you overwhelm the infrastructure of the hospital beds, and then you can't, if you have some big accident or something like that, or there's an earthquake and you suddenly need 50 beds, they've all been taken up by COVID. So that's the problem that we were supposed to stop back in March, which we did stop, but we still keep doing this anyway until we get Donald Trump out of the White House. So the question is, they will shut Snohomish down again and then have the collateral damage of suicides, domestic violence, drug and alcohol and all that other stuff will keep going. They're okay. Will they close down the restaurants? or they're not, limit
they're
the restaurants?
Not doing
What's
any
the
of
next
that
step?
Right now, the next step is to please have everyone listen to them and hopefully try to stop this and reverse this. And then we'll see what happens, what they say next week. He was asked whether he expected to see any further restrictions. He said he really hoped not. But, you know, if the hospitals are overflowing and things are getting out of control, obviously that's going to be something that needs to happen. But at this point, no, he's concerned. He said he described what he's seeing over the last few days as the beginning of the third wave in Snohomish County, and it's already surpassed whatever the second wave ever did, and it's very near what the first wave was at its peak. So that's the concern, is that it's going to surpass and go beyond whatever we've already seen and then cause other things that we haven't seen. And you know, he talks about the lingering illnesses. There's also, you know, brain activity that's being, that's being detected in a lot of more people. And he also said that there's more and more science suggesting that this is airborne. He was very concerned about people speaking too close to one another, things like that. So just concerned. Maybe it's all better next week. I'll be sure and tell you if it is.
Okay, but you have something else you wanted to get to.
I do, and this is back to the governor who was speaking today. And later in this press conference, he was asked, and I'm sure, I think you guys have heard over the earlier in October, there were reports of many cities, many states prepping for election night security, not ballot security, but security for civil unrest, and especially if there's not a clarity on the presidential election as far as who the winner is. So today the governor was asked whether he had any plans for that, and here's what he had to say.
Well, I'm very hopeful that the margins of the election will be large enough that there's not a reason for controversy. That would be a great blessing for the United States. We hope that that'll be the case. We are considering in a variety of ways measures to make sure that we provide security, and I think we will. We've got a good handle on that. I won't go into any great detail about it, but yes, we are thinking about things to be prepared should that occur.
So they've got a handle on it, but we won't know any more information. So they're thinking about it, though.
Okay. All right.
You were excited. Yeah, I did that just for you.
Was that your question?
No, because it was Joe from the Seattle Times, who's always number two. I'm always like last, but Joe was number two and he asked first. But I was listening enough to I grabbed it for you. Also, the car tab thing, if you didn't hear it in the news, did you hear the governor say that there might be some car tab relief possibly at the legislative level?
I was half listening. What did he say?
He said there might be some car tab relief when the legislature gets back if they can pass something. He's on board if they want to do that, is essentially what he said.
Okay. By the way, where does the science, I know he's big on science, and if you talk about science, you can get in trouble, but when he mentions science, why five people? Why is that okay to watch five and not six?
That's the recommendation from the state health department, which I do believe comes down from the CDC or National Institute of Health. That's just the acceptable. Yeah. So you have
it's
to ask
the science,
them. But he's following that from on high. It is weird.
That's awkward.
But listen, I'm going to tell you this, and I asked him this, and I didn't put this cut in here, but I asked him at the press conference, and he didn't seem terribly happy with me. But I know people who have COVID fatigue, who are out, who are younger, who are going in having their barbecues with 10 or more people, and have been for many months, and they aren't fearful of this anymore as they were maybe back in March. And I said, what do you do at this point if you're really stressing for everybody to continue to follow this? How do you deal with that kind of attitude? And he said the vast majority of people in Washington State are on board and are doing everything that I say and wearing their masks and stuff like that.
Nope,
but there's a growing
number
who are not, and that's the concern that you're hearing in Snohomish County.
Come on over to Central Washington. Come on over. They laugh and they hate Inslee. They can't stand him. There are horrible signs that people have all over their property and bumper stickers, and they don't wear the masks. And they make fun of the whole program. And that's probably even, they move over to further over into Eastern Washington, not just Central Washington, which I learned there's a difference the other day.
There is.
They can't stand him. And they don't wear the mask. I don't know whether to spite him or whatever, but they wear it to go into the store. They take it off and everybody makes fun of it. So.
And that's what he said. He said, go into any grocery store and you'll see that they're wearing the mask. No matter. And it's, you know, it's the rule.
Yes.
You can't get in otherwise. So
you have to.
But
they're not voluntarily wearing the masks.
No, and there's a lot of support for it, so I don't want to make it sound like there's not. But just based on my own personal observations, I see more people giving way to COVID fatigue, whatever you want to call it. It's getting close to the holidays. People aren't listening. And here's the deal. Here's what I've heard from the national health experts, from the state health experts, and the local health experts. We may have a vaccine here in the next couple of months, few months at the beginning of the year, but most of us aren't going to get that. Most of us aren't going to get it until summer is what I'm hearing now, if we're going to take it, which means we're on this program until then, is the general sense I'm getting. And you got to keep up the mask stuff. Otherwise, it's going to be very bad like it was in the beginning, or worse, is what they say.
The vaccine we're going to get is called the D-Trump vaccine. It's going to be coming on the 4th of November, and you'll see this start to go away. I really do believe that to be true. I know Tom thinks that's total nonsense, but this is it. This,
good, I don't
if you
want to
get
it,
Donald man. Trump out of the, you want to get Donald Trump out of the White House, you listen to every single story that CBS News does and that we do here on our news. COVID, 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 COVID. But when you look at the number of people dying, it's not increasing. The number of cases are going up, but who's getting it? The number of people dying isn't. But COVID, COVID, COVID. Wait to see the number of questions that are being asked of Donald Trump, because they know this is his Achilles heel. Pound away at the COVID stuff. Let's focus on the COVID stuff, and let's get Donald Trump out of there.
I think I actually got called a Trump groupie for asking the question I did to the governor today for buying into the Trump Kool-Aid. But, look, I hope you're right. In the meantime, all the health officials are telling everyone, please mask up and socially distance.
That's right. That's right.
Once, if Trump actually gets out of office, John, you might have a more unified country realizing that masks do help.
Maybe.
The problem
is really, Tom?
We have a president who is yammering against masks.
Oh, so you think if Trump loses, then everybody that voted for Trump is all of a sudden going to put a mask on?
Maybe. When you have the president of the United States saying this is something good to do, if we had unanimity, if President Trump had done that from the beginning, I wouldn't be surprised if he was reelected. Because he decided to fight his scientists and fight the doctors. Have this
because he was called
country.
A racist and a xenophobe because he stopped China, and then
that's
he
right.
didn't want to
and
panic
then,
him and all the other nonsense.
And then if he
and
could
and
have
the
followed
blood
through.
Was on his hands. It was
yes.
his
and
fault.
Then followed through with the masks, we wouldn't have had the problem that we do have.
Look, there's 150,000 of the 200,000. There's a whole collection of people that I've met and who've come after me on Twitter in this state who believe that the day after the election, if the Democrats win, then all of the masks aren't going to be a rule anymore. That's what some people think. I'm telling you. So
I know. That's
yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not just me, Tom. Some very, very bright people will back me up on that.
Not bright enough, maybe.
All right. That's right. The experts like Fauci, the experts, the scientists, they know. Let's listen to the experts. Yes, the scientists. They know everything.
Anti-authority.
How about scientists? How about the scientists that don't agree with those scientists? Are they just crazy?
Not all the scientists agree, but they all debate it out together.
But we have
most
to,
of them.
Right. Let's right.
There's
let's
a
follow
consensus,
the experts.
John.
There's the consensus is we need Trump out of the White House. That's the consensus.
No. Only because of the way he handled the COVID-19 problem. If he handled it differently,
Joe Biden
would
have
had 150,000 fewer deaths.
You can't prove that. Can't prove it. Cannot prove that. Cannot prove that.
The biggest tragedy of COVID is that the politics ever got involved, especially if it does get out of control, as they're warning. I will leave you guys with that.
Yes, thank you, Hannah.
Bye, Hannah. And there's traffic in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Hey, everybody, gather around the radio set here. Don't forget Lake Washington Windows and Doors reminding you that it's a good idea to be like Tom in every regard, except for living in a hole in the ground with a big piece of pig iron on top. Because if you don't have windows and doors, you're shut off from what's really happening in the world. Like Tom, Lake Washington Windows and Doors. All right. By the way, let's just take care of a quick bit of sound. I looked it up to see if, because everybody hates Joe Buck. And well, Jacob, get ready to play that sound. So Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, I guess they didn't. It was a hot mic moment, right? There was a flyover during the game. It was must have been last Thursday, and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were just, you know, shooting the breeze after the Jets go by.
It's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover. That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
All right. I looked up Joe Buck politics, and Joe Buck said in 2017, there's no place in sports for politics. And if you're an announcer and you want to slip in something that you believe, don't do it. It doesn't serve you well. It doesn't serve the people well. It doesn't serve the viewers. It doesn't serve the sport by you deciding you want to slip some of your own politics into the broadcast for whatever reason. Don't do it. He says, I don't do it. I don't want to do it. And interesting story he told. The director said to him, we're going to come back out of this commercial break. Told him that when tomorrow we come out of the commercial break, we go to the national anthem, the camera's going to swing down and we're going to have Kaepernick is going to be on his knee. So Joe Buck said he knew he had about 15 seconds. So he wrote something. He said, I don't normally write anything, but I knew that in 15 seconds I had to say something that would speak to what was happening without politicizing it. And it was really important that the words I chose, because they were going to be really examined, and perhaps it could have gone south on me very quickly. So he said he knew ahead of time that he had 15 seconds in order to write something or to say something about Kaepernick on something like that. But other than that, he said, just try to keep politics out. So that's me coming to the defense of Joe Buck.
Look at you. And you despise Joe Buck, right?
I don't like Joe Buck because of the thing that he did to Mitchell, who had an incredible run. And Joe Buck, only thing Joe Buck said was, Mitchell, watch it on YouTube. This guy, it's a kickoff. And here it is. I'll reenact it for you. Mitchell. 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 Mitchell, these people are looking at me.
Mitchell.
That was it.
Here it is. Mitchell.
It's a run like you won't believe.
Mitchell. Down to the 25.
Down, yeah. He catches the ball on his own 8, and he's avoiding tackles left and right like a superhuman, and he gets Mitchell. Mitchell. Oh, like he's calling his dog.
No, but that's because he's doing TV and not radio. And what you learn in TV is you let the pictures do the talking. So there's much less talking. That's always been an unfair slam you've had against Mr. Buck. Now, what I thought was Mitchell. More remarkable was that Troy Aikman referred to it Kamala Biden. So he put the VP first and then used her first name and the presidential choice second name. I thought that was sort of an odd way to put it. You won't get that in a Kamala Biden administration. Sort of odd juxtaposition of words.
Well, a lot of people put her first. Have you seen that recently?
I don't know what you mean by putting her first. No, I haven't.
We normally say Biden-Harris, but they're not.
Yeah.
Even he says Harris Biden, and even other people have said Harris Biden.
I don't think so. Okay, now that you've mentioned it, I'll pay more attention.
You'll notice it.
But also, I wonder, so people think that betrays his political stance. I'm not so sure it does.
Because I don't think so.
He could, you don't? Okay, good, because the article we're looking at says, well, you know, you should leave his politics out of it. Well, you can't read his politics because he might have been saying, yeah, we're going to lose that, and isn't that going to be too bad? Or he's going to say, yeah, we'll lose that, and isn't that a good thing? You can't really tell. So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. Fair enough.
Let's go back real quick to the World Series. This is being described as, someone is saying that it is the most intriguing World Series ever, Tom.
Yes. And for non-baseball reasons, I mean, I think they're well-matched. The Dodgers are slightly favored. But the reason this is so fascinating is you have one of the franchises that cost the most expensive franchises in the world. You got Boston, you got New York, and you got Los Angeles Dodgers playing against one of the least, in fact, might be the least amount of money spent on a team as the Tampa Bay Rays. So the question is, one of the big knocks against baseball in terms of the competitive nature of baseball is, unlike all other sports, there's no lid, salary lid. There's no cap. So whoever has the most money can spend the most, and then you buy all the best players, and year in and year out, the medium and small market teams don't have a chance. Well, this is the one year where we're actually, you know, there's a chance for that to be turned topsy-turvy by showing that one of the smallest, you know, salaries in baseball can actually match and perhaps even master the biggest one. So I think baseball, there's a part of baseball that would like to see Tampa Bay win, because then that'll get all the social critics off its back, or the sports critics off its back, by saying, see, we don't have to change anything. Anybody can win. You can do it various ways. The problem is with Los Angeles, the way Chicago Cubs finally won was they stole the guy from the Boston Red Sox, and the Boston Red Sox guy mm-hmm. took the plan from the Oakland A's, who are always the money ball, one of the poor teams. You can end up hiring them. So two of the people from Tampa Bay have been hired by bigger organizations. And so if Tampa Bay wins this one, it might just be a fluke. But that's one reason why there's some interest. And I'm rooting like crazy, even though my son-in-law is a diehard Los Angeles Dodgers fan all his life, I'm rooting secretly for the Tampa Bay Rays just because they're such big financial underdogs.
It is interesting that the almost a socialistic sort of pall hangs over the NFL, where the salary cap and they don't let it grow out to the most money wins at the time. So, yeah. By the way, I think the first game is finished, and who took the first game? Has it already been played?
I think it just started today, and they're in the second inning right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we'll report back tomorrow.
I wonder what the ratings would be like for the World Series.
Well, it's going to help that LA's in there. If it was Tampa Bay against another small market team, there would be no chance. But LA has a national enough following. It still can't compare to football, though. Yeah.
Milwaukee Brewers now up at bat. Nobody.
Well, they are playing in Texas, too, so you have no fans in the stands, relatively speaking. It's just a bunch of random people that managed to get tickets for a series played in, I think it's Arlington, Texas.
Yeah, and the Mariners just couldn't quite make it all happen this year.
No, but at the end of the year, they say there's hope for next year, John.
Oh, is that right, Tom? All right.
I swore I read that.
Let's check with Tracy Taylor on traffic. What's going on? All righty. Those letters have been pouring in, I can tell, because here comes the mailman now, and he looks like he's carrying quite the load. Here he comes. Teeny Tiny's got a letter today, I'm sure.
As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
If you didn't know, it's mailman right to your door. We'll get to the letter of the day, but first, Tom, let's take care of all the rest. Here we go.
So we'll start off with our top story of the day. All of those exit interviews from the leaving Seattle police officers and their unhappiness. 425 weighs in. Have the voters decide if they want SPD cut by 50%. If it's anything like $30 car tabs, it'll never happen.
That's going to be the punchline on so many jokes. 206. Three of those council members ran on the idea to hire more cops than they all voted to defund the cops.
And area code 206, you're both right. We want reform, not defunding. The truth is, when only 36% of those registered to vote for city council positions, the extreme candidates win. I'm still reeling that my candidate, Heidi Wills, lost.
Americans moving where they want, 206. John, I'm glad you finally connected with your neighbors, but that is not a small town thing. We have lived in our home in Finney Ridge for almost 20 years, and we are constantly helping each other, helping one another, dropping by unannounced and loaning tools, etc.
And area code 206, just like your neighbor Dougie, I have a friend cut from the same cloth. If you took away the F word, he wouldn't be able to form a sentence.
BYU students 206, the warning probably does more to promote the idea.
Yeah. And area code 206 again. Tom is just salty because we know how hard he's been hitting the Red Hook BSB ever since he started working from home, and his organs aren't generating the asking price they used to.
425 John's going to wake up in a bathtub one day, missing two kidneys, two corneas, and one liver. His heart is already missing.
And 206, I'll undercut John's offer of $2,000 for a kidney by $300, and I'll throw in my pancreas. I heard you can live without that thing.
And John, Viktor Frankl, in his book Man's Search for Meaning, said the happiest man he ever met was in India, and he was so poor that he had already sold his bones. He had them on loan until he didn't need them anymore.
And Rolling Rock Sox in the 425. Hey, John, maybe Tom is right. Just today I saw a Stellar J dive bomb a squirrel and take his nuts. We have to stop this madness.
Hey, thank you, Rolling Rock Man. Rachel Segment, 602, says, I am so telling Dave that Rachel called him Father Time.
And 253, instead of rolling around a blueberry in your mouth to meditate, just take a bong rip or smoke a joint.
Bong rip. 253, tell John to stop eating those blueberries. It's like telling my wife she needs to go to the gym. You think you're helping, but you'll end up on the couch.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Teeny.
God, so many more letters Teeny. We're not going to get to.
But Teeny.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
It was from some guy named Andy on the road less traveled.
Uh-huh.
Hi-ho, fellas, and happy I'm going with Tuesday here. Fellas, I've got to come to Jacob's defense. My guess is that with John being so downtrodden, his liberty so oppressed by big government, that Jacob probably didn't want to impose any restrictions on John's God-given inalienable rights to be a blueberry glutton or to walk around looking like a pinhead in a ball cap. Those are John's decisions to make on his own, and Jacob has no right to interfere. Good for you, Jacob. Good for you. That's it, fellas. Have a great rest of the week, and go Pats. Your libertarian streak comes back to bite you, John.
Oh, man. Well, I'll show up in the next hour, Tom.
That's all she wrote.
I bet you will.
Didn't write no more.
All righty. Hope sounds good.
She left the gloom of hanging around my front door.